So, the citizen has a problem with the WTO!
WTO, sir!
We're standing on the other side of a cordon of Metro buses blocking off the Paramount Theater. As you can hear, helicopters are flying. Armed police are all over the area. And hundreds, if not thousands, of protesters have made their way to surround the Paramount Theater and shut down the WTO and its opening ceremony, which was supposed to be kicked off with a keynote speech by Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
We want to shut down the WTO today and forever, really, because we don't think it's democratic and it's spoiling the environment. I don't agree with the process they use or the premises, really. The premise is that all trade is good, but that's not necessarily so.
This is The Battle in Seattle, the WTO, Inside and Out. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. In the last week of November and the first week of December of 1999, the WTO, the World Trade Organization, came to Seattle, Washington, to conduct its ministerial meetings. In addition to several thousand delegates and journalists who were in the Emerald City to attend the WTO sessions, as many as 50,000 protesters came to Seattle to express their views about the WTO and the process of economic globalization. What is the World Trade Organization and what does it do? First, we hear from the International Forum on Globalization's John Cavanaugh and Ambassador David Ahrens, U.S. Trade Representative, in a debate that was held in Seattle's town hall during the week of meetings and protests.
Leading off this evening is John Cavanaugh. John is the director of the Institute for Policy Studies, a Washington think tank. He was formerly an economist at the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development and at the World Health Organization.
What you're hearing, what you'll be hearing tonight from our side in this debate, and what you've been hearing from Seattle's streets as tens of thousands of people have gathered here in recent days, is this. Two things. One, the dominant model of economic globalization enforced by the World Trade Organization, that attempts to increase trade and investment at almost any cost, is catastrophic for the environment, for working people, for small farmers, and for cultural diversity. And two, that citizens' organizations, backed up increasingly by public opinion, are forging alternative paths to development and alternative rules that steer trade, investment, and other economic activities more squarely towards the advancement of healthy communities and dignified work and a clean environment. Now, on the critique of the free trade model, which Public Citizen in their excellent new book rightly, I think, calls corporate managed trade, there's nothing free about a system based on thousands of pages of rules that gives breaks to one corporate sector or another. On the critique of corporate managed trade, I think Ralph will talk a little bit about how it's undermining democracy. I think Vandana will talk a bit about its devastation on nature and on farmers. Let me say a word on its impact on working people and inequality. No figure better sums up the negative impact of corporate managed trade than this, from a recent IPS and United for a Fair Economy study. It is this. Since 1990, U.S. CEO salaries have risen 481%. While average U.S. worker pay has risen only 28%. Or cast on a global scale, the world's 475 billionaires, led by Seattle's very own Bill Gates, have a combined wealth greater than the collective incomes of the poorest half of humanity. In other words, corporate-led globalization is creating two Americas, two worlds, one gaining benefits from expanded trade and investment, the other losing. In this scheme of winners and losers, we have estimated that as much as two-thirds of humanity has been left out, hurt, or marginalized by economic globalization. Debaters on the free trade side, especially here in Washington State, often point out that exports have created millions of jobs and that they're good jobs. What they fail to add is that in this globalization frenzy, imports of everything, from toys to clothing to machinery, have been growing much faster than exports. These imports, most of them, displace more jobs, and wages in these industries pay on average more than the export jobs. To add insult to injury, the Labor Department tells us that only 35% of those who find new jobs find ones that pay as well or better than the old ones. Likewise, in poorer countries like Mexico, investment and trade flows have expanded rapidly under NAFTA and the WTO, but real wages there now are lower than they were in the 1980s. But the other message of Seattle is that there's another way. There's another path forward, and it is not the darker, separatist, racist alternative that the World Trade Organization's Michael Moore warned of yesterday. Millions of people are rallying around principles of democracy, ecological sustainability, economic human rights, food security and safety to propose new rules and institutions and alternatives, such as those released this week in a new alternatives report that the International Forum on Globalization has put out called Beyond the WTO. Whereas the free trade side believes that the least accountable institutions of global governance, the WTO, the IMF, and the World Bank, should be strengthened, we believe that these institutions should be scaled back, or to use a corporate phrase, downsized, and instead that accountable structures of government at the local, national, and UN level should be strengthened. Our colleague Walden Bellow reminds us that many countries experienced their most vibrant development when global economic institutions were weak or non-existent. This included East Asia in the 1960s and indeed in the United States in its first 100 years. And I hardly need to remind you that Eli Whitney's smuggling of the blueprints for the cotton gin and thousands of similar defiant acts that built this nation would have been declared illegal under the World Trade Organization. There are alternatives. They're being heard this week. They can and will build a different world. Thank you.
Our next speaker, on my right, is David Aaron. He's the Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade. Previously, he was the ambassador to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in Paris. In his current position, he's responsible for formulating and implementing U.S. trade policy. Ambassador Aaron.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say three things, if I could, at the outset here. First of all, that the Clinton administration agrees with the concerns of many of those who've come to demonstrate peacefully here in Seattle this week.
Could we remember that this is a debate and we need to hear both sides?
It's right to insist that trade not be viewed in only narrow commercial terms, but must be conducted in a way that reflects our deepest values. It's also right to insist that a world trading system not become a race to the bottom on environmental standards and workers' rights. Moreover, it's right to insist that multilateral trade agreements support an improvement in the environment and human rights. And it's right to demand that the WTO tackle issues of how trade affects workers' rights, social safety nets, and child labor. And finally, it's right to believe that the WTO conducts too much business in private and to criticize the dispute settlement mechanism as being too closed and non-transparent. Not only does the administration share these concerns, it has come to Seattle with a program to do something about them, to lead the way for change. That's why we hope that your presence here in Seattle, including those who have come from all over the world, will send a powerful message to the trade community and to other government officials assembled here. It's time that the WTO got with the program on environment, labor, and openness. That's what the Clinton administration is trying to achieve here in Seattle. My second point is that I simply have to disagree with some of the charges, slogans, and propaganda that's being tossed around very casually in this week. It is not true that the WTO is some kind of secret government and that world trade rules undermine our sovereignty. Agreeing to these rules is entirely voluntary. They have been endorsed by our elected representatives in Congress. It is an exercise of our sovereignty, and a wise one at that. We retain full and complete control over our laws and our regulations. 130 countries have joined the WTO, and 40 more are waiting to do so as well. This is not some collective act of national suicide on their part. And it's not just, and it's not true, the WTO rules and dispute resolution mechanisms weaken our ability to set the highest environmental health and safety standards. To the contrary, WTO bodies have explicitly reaffirmed that right so long as it isn't a lame excuse for protectionism, which in some cases it actually has been. It's wrong to believe that world trade rules are just for the big players, for the global corporations. 97% of exporters in America are small and medium-sized businesses. Two-thirds of our exporters are firms with less than 20 employees. They need a rules-based trading system with effective dispute settlement. They do not have legions of lawyers and representatives that the big companies have to protect themselves. And so it's wrong to propose that the answer to the problems of world trade is to tear down the WTO and tear up the rules. That would create a Darwinian anarchy in world trade where only the global giants will survive. Finally, my third point is that it would be tragically wrong to see trade as the enemy of American jobs, worker rights, the environment, and consumer welfare, let alone democratic values. To the contrary, trade is vital to American jobs. In the last 5 years, trade has contributed roughly one-third of our total economic growth. Since 1993, 2 million jobs have been created by trade. 12 million American jobs depend on exports in this country. And these jobs pay 15% more on average than other jobs. And I was impressed by the previous speaker a moment ago who pointed out that during this period there's been a 28% increase in real wages. That's a record to be proud of. This record economic expansion, now in its seventh year, has been fueled by world trade. It has kept inflation and interest rates low, and the American family has benefited enormously. Average family income is up $5,000. The Uruguay round tariff cuts alone were worth $1,700 to the average American family. That's the biggest tax cut in American history. And the whole world has benefited as well. The world standard of living has doubled, while world trade has increased 16 times since we started writing trade rules 50 years ago. Whole regions of the world have been lifted out of abject poverty by international trade. Trade and the openness it demands have contributed not only to the spread of wealth, but also of environmental improvement, workers' rights, and democracy. Look at Korea. Look at Indonesia. Look at Thailand. Look at Latin America. So I urge you not to listen to those who would have us dramatically change course and erect new trade barriers that would isolate America. That is a council of despair that would only condemn us to both economic and cultural stagnation. We are only 6% of the world's population. 94% of our potential economic partners are outside of our borders. Trade is vital to our future, and a rules-based system is key to making that trade, as one banner said in the streets this afternoon, clean, green, and fair.
Perhaps one of the most striking aspects of the globalization debate is the often opposite world views of those who are involved in it. Dr. Vandana Shiva at an agriculture rally in Seattle.
Thank you, people of Seattle, people of the world. We've just completed the Seattle-Uruguay round of the people. And part of it involves undoing all the damages of the Uruguay round, undoing the introduction of the agreement on agriculture. We want food and agriculture out of the WTO. We want all of life's diversity out of the patent and intellectual property rights and trade-related intellectual property rights. But most of all, we will never, ever in the future allow them to divide American farmers and Indian farmers, consumers from producers. Those divisions are part of the manufactured past. They disappear with genetically engineered organisms. And our round of a new, peaceful, flourishing, abundant agriculture for all is a round that says we will stop this war against the earth. We will stop the war against the small farmers. We will stop the war against our bodies. And as we gather here today, I would like us all to remember very briefly the cost of this war every day as it's carried out on our farms, but where it was demonstrated most dramatically 15 years ago in the city of Bhopal, which means the city of the earth, where they killed 3,000 people because of an accident in a pesticide plant, and more than 500,000 people are still crippled and maimed for life. We will not allow what they did with Bhopal to happen in every one of our farms with genetically engineered organisms. We declare the liberation of our agriculture from chemicals, from corporations, from patents, and from genetically modified organisms. And for that freedom, we don't need to wait till they agree. We have to commit ourselves, and we do.
Welcome our next speaker, Jim Hightower.
Rebellious bunch of agitators come here in this unscheduled outbreak of democracy. It's a hell of a situation when the people are on the outside and the powers that be are hidden on the inside, but they can't run. They can run, but they can't hide from us. We know what they're doing, and that's why we're gathered here, you know. My mama taught me years ago, don't ever put anything in your mouth unless you know where it came from. From not from the good earth, not from the family farmers and the good ranchers, coming from the factory farms and the laboratories of corporate agribusiness and biotech corporations, the frankenfoods of industrialized agriculture. And that is why we're gathered here today. Farmers and consumers, environmentalists and workers come together just to say no to their frankenfoods, just to say no to the WTO, to the whole agenda of extending corporate power even further over our food and our farms. You know, we got a saying in Texas that when you find that you've dug yourself into a hole, the very first thing to do is to quit digging. And that's what we're going to do. No more digging us into the hole of the WTO. Fundamentally, what this is about is democracy. It boils down to this question. Who the hell is going to be in charge, the profiteers or the people? They tell us, oh, you don't understand. This globalization, this corporatization, this biotech is good for all the peoples of the world. Well, hey, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. How about you? If it is so good for us, why are they shutting us out of the rulemaking? If it is so good for us, why don't they want to put it on the labels of the food products? Tell you this. can gas us as they've done this week. They can shoot us. They can herd us like animals down the street. They can rip up our Constitution in front of us, but they cannot shut us up and they cannot stop us. Because we are the people. Seattle is only the beginning. This is where it starts. You are now the messengers to go out to the countryside, to go into your churches, to go into the community organization, to link arms and build a coalition, not just with the bean sprout eaters. Get those snuff dippers on our side, too. We've got to team up together and take power back for the people. What we've done here in Seattle this week is to open a great old big can of kick-ass. Let's keep it open. Thank you very much. Go get them. Thank you, Jim. This seems impossible, but the city wanted us to try to move you, but I think we can't move. I think the speaker's got to speak to the whole world. Welcome one of America's family farmers, Helen Waller.
People. For powerful multinational corporations of the world, WTO means we're taking over. But for those of us who have come here to protest the WTO's indifference to economic, social, and environmental concerns of farmers and ranchers, WTO means we're ticked off. Promote more trade between nations. Some call it globalization or progress or growth or technological change or outsourcing. That's a new one. But by any name, the results are blatant manipulation of the marketplace.
Behind yourself, too.
By agribusiness giants, to name a few, there's Cargill, ConAgra, Archer Daniels Midland, Iowa BPAC, Monsanto, that benefit from unregulated international trade will continue to use their tremendous political influence to push for further expansion of WTO powers. Unless U.S. citizens challenge the corporate influence in Washington and demand that Congress and the Clinton administration change course, these Seattle negotiations will move us further toward an international economic system dominated by a few monopolistic corporations. The U.S. Justice Department refuses to confront the monopolized food cartel. The recent U.S. Senate vote on Senator Wellstone's bill that would have begun to address this merger mania indicates that the majority of our senators are unwilling even to evaluate the effects of concentration and control of the nation and the world's food system. Is it because a supporting vote might jeopardize lucrative campaign contributions?
U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Charlene Barshefsky.
Both Mike Moore and I felt, and the working group chairs felt, that the process that we had embarked upon 2 days ago was in fact yielding some quite significant results, and that that process should continue. Our intention in setting up the process that we did was to ensure something that had never before been in practice in 50 years of global trade negotiations, and that was full transparency for all delegations as to what was being negotiated. the process, including even at Singapore as recently as 3 years ago, was a rather exclusionary one. All meetings were held among between 20 and 30 key countries. There was no working group process, and that meant 100 countries, 100, were never in the room. And as you know, for many countries, this then led to extraordinarily bad feeling that they were left out of the process and that the results, even at Singapore, had been dictated to them by the 25 or 30 privileged countries who were in the room. I felt strongly, and Mike Moore felt strongly, that in a democratizing world, and given that transparency is a focus of WTO, we could not possibly run a process in that same way now. Having said that, I and Mike Moore have put tremendous pressure on the working group chairs to reach consensus text in their groups. And I have also made very clear, and I reiterated to all ministers today, that if we are unable to achieve that goal, I fully reserve the right to also use a more exclusive process to achieve a final outcome. There is no question about either my right as the chair to do it or my intention as the chair to do it. But it is not the way I want this to be done. And the result of that conversation, which we had quite bluntly this morning, including in the Committee of the Whole, is that ever more progress is being recorded by countries who understand quite fully that an open process is far preferable to the process that has existed within the GATT system and the WTO.
As Ambassador Charlene Barshefsky stated, the battle lines were not only drawn between those inside the Washington Trade and Convention Center and those protesting in the streets of Seattle, but increasingly between the ministers and delegates themselves. The battle in Seattle is just heating up. We hope you'll tune in for our next installment of The Battle in Seattle, the WTO. Inside and Out. The program is produced with assistance from KVMR FM Radio, Nevada City, California, the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, and in conjunction with Full Logic Reverse Productions. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll tune in for our next installment of The Battle in Seattle, the WTO, Inside and Out.
So, the citizen has a problem with the WTO!
WTO, sir!
Mike Thornton with KVMR FM Radio in California. You got a great sign.
Thanks a lot.
Can you tell us what it says?
All right, the sign says, what does the sign say? It says, make love, not profits. Fuck the WTO.